She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Ron and Anian.
It was a moment that defined who we are. It had nothing to do with ethnicity, with race, with political belief, with religious belief. It was, hey, look at this car. This is neat.
The Car Doctor.
If I ever move from Hawaii, you'll have to check and see if an alien took my body over.
Well, if he does, and you're up flying around in space, I'm sure you'll call me up and want to know how the warp drive is supposed to work.
Yes, I will. You can count on it.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
All right, listen, there's something really important I have to do to start off this hour of the show. It's an absolute must, it's a priority, and I've been trying to get to it for 3 weeks. Maury wrote in. Maury, I'm putting you at the top of the hour because I want to make sure you get this message. Maury wrote in. I think Maury's up in New England or Maine or wherever. I think that's the same place, isn't it? Maury wants to know, and he keeps calling Tom, and Tom gets to talk to Maury, and they're really starting to enjoy each other's company, according to Tom. Maury wants to know if there's any known problems with Honda CVT transmissions, a vent cap or something or other popped off on the top of his, no damage, nothing else wrong. But since the car is paid off and they're having issues, he will get rid of it if there are known problems. Maury, you can't say that about a car. Listen, I could tell you, and for the most part, the Honda CVTs are probably the best of the bunch. I'm not a CVT fan. Well, it's not that I'm not a fan. It's just that I don't think CVTs work as well or last as long as conventional automatic transmissions. I think CVT or otherwise, I still think if you get 150,000 miles out of a trans, you did good. So not knowing what year this car is, not knowing the mileage, I'll answer the question like this. The early CVTs across the board really weren't great. And on some of the manufacturers, they phased CVT transmissions out. They brought back, you know, conventional, and then they brought CVTs back in. If this was a Nissan, I would tell you after it gets 100,000 miles on it, run. All right, because Nissan just can't seem to build a CVT, and I don't know why. Honda, on the other hand, they're not terrible. If you do some of the maintenance and there's not a lot to do, maybe at the 100,000 mile mark, change the fluid, or 120, depending upon the year, you'll probably get a buck and a half out of that transmission. Does that mean you will? No, because the universe doesn't listen to me the way I listen to it. But normal care and maintenance, normal wear and tear. But if you abuse it and you're hard on it, no, sir, it's not going to last. But I don't think getting rid of it because the vent cap fell off is a reason to do that. Listen, I could tell you that we see absolutely no problems where we don't see a lot with the Hondas, but you know, you wake up Monday. Listen, you want to see God laugh? Tell him your plans. So, and that being said, just drive the car. Don't worry about it. Just do the maintenance and you'll be fine. Hello and welcome, Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor here, 855-560-9900. Tom, did I do that good, huh? Did I? Does that make everybody happy? Tom? I don't think Tom's
I think it'll make everybody happy.
Okay, good. I don't want you upset.
No. I'm upset enough because I've got some issues I have to deal with here behind the scenes, and it doesn't involve you for once. So.
Yeah, look at that. I'm doing my job. Listen.
What do you know?
I'm ready to go.
What a concept.
Yeah, I know. So everything else good up there in Newburgh, New York?
In the Newburgh area, yeah, things are good. Things are finally back to normal.
Yeah.
I tell you, I was in Connecticut the other day. It was almost like a war zone from the storm.
Mm.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I didn't invite you on for just the heck of it. I wanted to tell you something, and I wanted to do it up here on air so it's official.
Yes.
Okay. We are officially. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We are officially a member of the 100 Affiliate Club.
Hey, what do you know?
We have 100 radio affiliates now.
Hey, Ron, people like you.
I can't understand it, Tom.
Neither can I.
You know,
this is great news, you know.
But, yeah, we have 100 radio affiliates. The podcast is now in the top 200 podcasts, according to the distributor, the syndicator. And our syndication company, Talk Media Network, tells me that we're the hottest show in the stable.
No kidding.
Yeah, I boggles my mind, Tom. You know, who'd have thought? And every day I get up and I go to work and I keep thinking, is this how Sinatra got started? But, you know, fortunately for you guys, I don't sing. So,
well, I only have one thing to say about that.
Yeah. Eureka! You don't smell so good either.
There you go.
You know, well, I wanted to sing. You know, that old joke my father would always ask, can you sing Far, Far Away? And I go, no. And he would just look at me like, anyway, there's a joke in there somewhere.
My father would always tell me to go sing so low nobody can hear you.
Right, exactly. I think we should open the garage doors, Tom. It's probably time.
Okay.
Let's go wander over. Let's go talk to Chuck in Connecticut, 06 Cobalt SS with a P0017. Chuck, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Congratulations on the 100.
Thank you, sir. More to come.
But yeah, I got a P0017. And I believe I troubleshot it down to the camshaft. The crank sensor tested good, resistance-wise. But the car did start and it clattered. The noise was horrendous.
Okay.
I turned it right back off. Trying to get that cam sensor out because it's reading about 40,000 over spec.
Now, when you're saying cam sensor, you're talking about the actuator solenoid that's sitting in the top of the head.
No, this is a this is a 06. It doesn't have the variable valve.
Okay.
It's the cam sensor that sits on the exhaust cam on the driver's side, and you can't get the sensor out because of the radiator hose right there.
Right. Okay. Oh, this is supercharged. That's right. Yeah.
Right, yes.
Yeah, this is an SS.
I don't want to take that actuator, whatever it is, off because then I have to retime the whole engine.
Right. Well, so the question becomes, if you pulled out, well, let's start at the beginning, and I'll ask the simple questions. How clean's the oil?
It needs to be changed. It's got about 3,500 on it. We usually change around between 45 and 5,000.
Okay. Have you owned the car since new?
No.
All right.
We picked it up a couple years ago when we put about 30,000 on it.
All right. So it's been good up till now. You've been doing regular oil changes. You're using 530 in it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Synthetic, synthetic.
Yeah, these seem to work best with 530. So, you know, sometimes dirty oil causes this particular fault code in these cars, but, you know, it sounds like you're on top of that. You got to get the cam actuator solenoid out of the head. All right? Because when you do, I want you to take some jumper wires and manually power and ground the solenoid. See if the valve moves inside. See if it moves back and forth. If it doesn't, it's a bad actuator solenoid.
Oh, this doesn't do the variable valves.
This has to have variable.
Does that thing on the back of the exhaust cam, does that change the exhaust cam?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this should have P0017 is the computer saw an incorrect correlation for cam angle on the exhaust cam versus crank and intake. It saw something non-plausible is the word. So this should be a 2-liter supercharged. This should have a cam phaser on the intake, a cam phaser on the exhaust, and they're moving cam position off the center line based on PCM command. The actuator solenoid opens and closes an oil and flows more or less oil to put the phaser in proper position to either line the cam up, advance or retard, etc.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I have a 08 2.4 that has the variable valve with the two actuators.
Right.
This doesn't have that. This just has the one in the back of the exhaust cam.
Yeah, I think this Chuck, I remember it this way. This is what I remember the P0017 having the fault for. Tell you what, send me the VIN, ron@cardoctorshow.com, and let me verify this by VIN for you before I send you down the wrong path.
Okay. Right. Yes, I know the cam sensor itself is bad because it's supposed to be 2,000 ohms and it's 44,000.
Okay, so it's bad. So that's got to get changed.
The noise is what I'm concerned about is the timing that far off.
Well, if that actuator is stuck in the wrong position, see, I don't think that's a sensor. I think that's an actuator that you're trying to pull out. And now you've got the phaser in a collapsed position. It takes that much longer for oil to fill the passages. You're hearing the chain rattle.
Okay. All right. Yeah, my main concern is that did I have a sensor issue or did I have a time jump and I've got bent valves?
Well, yeah, that you'll know right away. Have you got it to start? Does it start now?
Yes, it does start. But I turn it right back off because the noise it's making is oof.
Right. Right. Okay. Send me the VIN. Let me see if I get you some correct information. All right.
Will do.
All right. Thank
you.
Sounds
good.
I'll talk to you soon. You're very welcome. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this.
It on the wall so you don't forget to call for car advice done right. 855-560-9900. Now, back to Ron.
Hey, let's get over to Sam in Florida, 13 Silverado with a vibration. Sam, you're on with the Car Doctor. What's going on?
Hi, Ron.
Yes,
I picked up this 2013 Silverado a couple weeks ago, and when I put it in drive, I'm getting a little bit of a vibration from the engine.
Say that again. Hello? Say that again, Sam.
When I put the truck in drive at an idle, I get a little vibration, a little shudder.
Okay.
And when I put it back in neutral, of course, that goes away. And it also does it if I'm, say, driving 30, 40 miles an hour, let off the gas a little bit and slowly give it some gas. It really gets that starts to vibrate.
So is it a vibration or like a droning, Sam?
Is that a droning vibration? It's hard to explain.
Yeah. High mileage on the truck?
85 and change.
All right. Does it do it in reverse?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, have you considered mounts as an issue?
Right, I had one replaced, and driver's side was broken.
Right.
The other side, I don't know if it's bad or not. You can't tell if it's broken. You know, the engine's not lifting or anything.
Right, so let me ask you this. Was the problem there before the mount was changed?
Yes.
It was. And putting the mount in it made no difference?
No. I thought it would, but no.
Okay. GM mount or an aftermarket part?
I don't know. I had it done at the dealer where I bought the vehicle itself.
Right. Well, let's assume it's a GM piece. And if the driver's mount appears solid and intact, you know, they could try pole jacking it, see if the engine lifts on that side if the mount's broken, but it doesn't sound to me like it's going to be that. So if we want to assume, which is a dangerous word, engine mounts are good, has anybody looked at the trans mount?
No.
You know, something, you know, generally this type of complaint comes up because something isn't insulating the engine properly. There's a metal-to-metal contact that's being transmitted through the frame. Does the does the vehicle look like it was ever in an accident?
No, the Carfax showed no report of an accident.
Well, yeah, I don't care what Carfax says. I want to know, you know, if you look at the fenders, for example, cars of that generation should have the VIN on labels on the inside of the fender wells. Do you see that?
I haven't looked. It looks like it's never been in the wreck.
All right. You know, you start looking. As a matter of recourse, I'll start looking at seams and, you know, how does the body panels line up and things like that.
It looks real good.
Yeah. If you were to just ever so slightly, you know, power brake it and bring up the RPM a little bit, does that make it go away?
When I'm doing that 30 miles an hour and I let up a little bit, just slowly give it a little bit of pedal when it starts, if I keep pushing on the gas, it disappears.
Does it seem like it's in the dashboard or in the floor pan of the vehicle?
It feels like I could feel it in the steering wheel. Kind of.
So Not that I want you to do this, but if you didn't have your hands on the steering wheel, would you notice it?
I'd notice that, yeah, I would, yes.
Okay, where would you notice it? Seat of your pants, or you would hear it?
Hear it.
Okay, and what do you touch that you notice is making it do the noise, or it seems like the biggest contributor of the noise? Top of the dash, steering wheel, dashboard, floor pan, seat?
Steering wheel.
Steering wheel.
Steering.
So it seems like it's coming up the steering column.
It might be.
So you wonder if the steering rack itself, which is mounted on rubber bushings, if they're worn out. Engine have any oil leaks?
No, nothing. It was a one-owner truck. I mean, it's super clean.
Right. So in other words, if you didn't touch the steering wheel, would you notice this drone?
I'd hear it.
You'd hear it, but you wouldn't feel it.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't. I never tried that before.
I'd take a look at the rack. Do we have a connection? You know, is the rack, does the rack, the way the rack is mounted and supported? I would also stop to consider, we got to look at everything. Is the engine sitting square? The fact that somebody did the driver's side mount and it made no difference, I don't think it's going to be engine mount related, but I'd look to see, there's usually a witness mark where the mount was sitting. Is it lined back up to that, or do they have it in a different location? You know, we sort of have to verify, do the mounts look correct? Think about what we want engine mounts to do. We want them in proper position. Right. We want them tight. We want the rubber to be supple. You know, I've had cases where a bad engine mount is bad, causing a vibration, not because it's cracked, but because it's so heat baked, it's hard like a rock, and it can't. Isolate or insulate engine vibration, and that creates an issue.
Right, which it could be on the mount on the right side.
Sure could. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
it wouldn't be like spark or a miss in the engine or injectors would cause that.
Well, if the engine were missing, I would think you'd be telling me about a check engine light. Let's ask the question this way. If you turn the key on with the engine off, just get in and turn the key on without starting it, does the check engine light light up?
No, there's no light, no.
Whoa, wait a minute. Just.
No, there's lights, but there's no, the engine lights come on when you turn the ignition on, yes.
Right. You get a check in, so it right. passes bulb right. check is my point.
Right.
Okay,
yes,
so we know the system is at least able to tell you if there's a fault. You know,
right.
again, tell me what's good, I'll tell you what's bad. It wouldn't hurt for somebody to look at the basics. Fuel trim, calculated load, does the engine look like it's running normal? What you're describing to me doesn't sound like an engine issue. It sounds like something, insulation, rubber mount. Look at the rack, look at the engine mounts, look at the trans mount. Call me back, let's talk about it, we can go further. I'm Ron Anning, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We're on the name of the Car Doctor at 855-560-9900. We're rolling along. Let's get out and talk to Frank in New Mexico, 89 Nissan Sentra. Frank, it's a classic. This has got to be cool, like driving a 32 Ford five-window coupe or something.
Well, it's not that pretty. I'd rather have a Ford, but, it is what it is. It's a simple problem here. I figured it was a brake light switch because the brake lights stayed on for over an hour. The lenses were so hot. Anyway, I pulled a fuse, stopped that. I removed the brake light switch. It metered out fine. Put it back in the harness, press a little button, and lights go on and off properly. Then I noticed the mounting area that of the brake pedal that touches that little button and keeps it in or out, the little rubber plug had fallen out of that hole. There's a hole there in the brake pedal where that plug presses in.
Right, sure.
Okay,
yeah.
I found it. I found it. It was really worn and deteriorated, but I taped it back in there just to see, and it wasn't making proper contact. What is a proper search term for that little part, or should I just put a bolt in that hole and secure it with a nut?
Yeah, just put a bolt in the hole and secure it with a nut. So, you know, it's brake switch insulator, brake switch stop, brake switch, you know, who knows what Nissan would have called it 30 years ago, 31 years ago. What's your question? Why is the switch getting hot, or looking for the piece for the end of the switch?
I was mainly trying to look for that little part, and I couldn't find the right search term.
I would talk to the local Nissan dealer, ask them to look up the brake light switch, or if you look online for the brake light switch, somebody's got to reference that piece, you know, as a matter of course on the other side of that switch. You know, generally that little nub, that little stopper, will be in the same category or parts group as the brake light switch itself. The question is, does anybody still make it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, I kind of doubt it. 31 years later, most of those cars are gone. You know.
Yeah. Well, I was figuring I'll either carve one out of hard rubber or just put a bolt in there.
Right. And I think a bolt will probably be just fine. Why they made it out of rubber? You know, they're probably trying to save the brake switch itself, but then, you know, the car is 31 years old at this stage. I don't think it has to last another 30 years. You know, right?
Okay, well, you answered my question.
So you're very welcome, sir.
Will suffice.
Everything else good out New Mexico way?
Oh, yeah, it's hot.
Yeah.
Probably going to make it to 95 today.
Oh, is that all?
Cooled off a little bit in the past couple of weeks. We were at 100 for, I don't know, 6 or 7 days in a row there.
Under 100, you guys might get snow early.
Well, I think I would enjoy seeing a little snow today.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not yet. Frank, always a pleasure, sir.
Hey, I love the show. I learn something all the time, and I'll cut you loose and just sit back and listen.
Thank you. You have a good rest of the day. Let's go over to Steve in New Hampshire, 04 Tahoe Z71. Steve, how can I help today, sir? You're on with the Car Doctor. What's going on? Yes, sir.
Excellent. 04 Chevy Tahoe Z71 recently had it inspected locally here, and they failed me because one lousy exhaust manifold bolt, I guess this is a common failure, has broken off. It's the one on the firewall driver's side.
Right.
Failed me for that. I can see if the manifold separated from the head and there was exhaust fumes getting in the cabin, but does he have the right to do that?
I don't know. I don't know New Hampshire law. I would call up New Hampshire Motor Vehicle Inspection in the Capitol and ask them, what's the statute? That should be clearly defined. Now, in New Jersey, it would have to be an exhaust leak. In the unsafest state in the Union, New Jersey, we only care about the check engine light. So basically in New Jersey, to show you how inept the inspection program is, you don't need a driver's license, registration, or insurance card. The windshield can be cracked. The tires can be bald. None of the lights can work. As long as we plug in, the check engine light shows monitor's complete. It's not illuminated on the dashboard, and it goes through a functional test. The odometer works, and the license plates front and back match. You're getting a sticker, brother.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, my.
It's... I've actually asked my inspector, I said, so you're telling me if someone comes in with no windshield in the car, and he says, you got to find a place to put the sticker and inspect that vehicle. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
wow.
So...
The mechanic...
Yeah. Go ahead.
The mechanic did say... according to the bylaws, the way the law, the statute's written here in New Hampshire, according to the DMV, there's 6 bolts on each side, passenger and driver, and all bolts must be attached, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah. So can he show you that in writing?
Yeah. You know, I think, the truck has 250,000 on it. I've called in before. I really take pride, and it's a hobby for me. While I'm turning the wrench, I listen to you on Saturday, and I really don't want another car payment, a truck payment of $400 a month. So I'm shooting for 1,000,000 miles on this.
Right.
They pulled it in, saw that it was $250,000 on it, and they really went through it with a fine-tooth comb.
If that's that was the only sort thing, of a, brother, if that's the only thing they found, shame on them. But ask them, can you show that to me in writing? It's not hard, right? Now, let me give you the good news. And if I can remember the name of the company, it'd be even better. But there is there's a company out there, I want to say in Pennsylvania or Ohio, that is making and it's not. I always think of them as the quick cheap tool. There's another one, not K-Line or
K-Pal.
No. Is it K-Pal with the exhaust manifold guide that bolts up to the head and you can drill out all the studs?
Yes, there's a bracket, an exhaust manifold bracket. I actually bought a set. I've already installed. I'm planning to install them. The one by the firewall on the driver's side is going to be a real you-know-what. But the other one that's going to go in by the oil dipstick, I plan on removing the dipstick and installing it because the dipstick's in the way. So I just ordered up a replacement dipstick because I plan on probably butchering it between getting it out and getting it in.
Yeah, well, this is a guide. This is a fixture that bolts to the head so you can accurately drill the bolts out.
Yes. Okay.
All right. And I saw it and I went, wow, somebody got smart. This was probably a $500, $600 tool set. But
yes.
I thought it was well worth the effort. I actually considered buying it for the shop because we, you know, just I just like tools. But, I thought it was very well designed and, you know, very well made. But I would definitely attempt. I wouldn't attempt it without that jig because I think that you're asking for trouble. But I would do that. I would Google search LS motor, LS exhaust manifold, bolt jig or bolt drilling or bolt removal, and I bet you the company will come up. They have a bunch of really great YouTube videos and things like that. So,
Excellent.
I would go back to your mechanic and ask him, can you show me this in writing? Where's the statute?
Yep.
You know,
I agree.
Because New Hampshire would have to say, hey, you know, go under the hood and look. All right? I could see rusted body parts. In New Jersey, it used to be rusted body panels, fenders hanging off, things like that, lights falling out. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I want to know where it says he's allowed to go look at exhaust bolts or where that's
Bingo.
A failure. I've never heard of that. I'd like to see. That's got to be in writing somewhere.
Yep. And by the way, this particular mechanic where I took the vehicle to get inspected got voted ASE Service Excellent Mechanic of the Year for New Hampshire, the Eastern Seaboard. I guess this particular, it's a large, I don't want to say the name of the place, but it's a large repair facility. Again, I can't do my own inspections, but this guy goes out of his way. If something, a side marker, you're going to fail.
But I get that. I get a side marker. I really do, Steve. And I'm not beating them up. I'm just saying, just show me the statute. You know, I want to, how are we, one thing I've learned about inspection, I've been a state inspector for many years. There's no interpretation. All right. I actually got in trouble. I'll tell you the story real quick and then I'm going to go. I actually got in trouble, 10, 12 years ago with the state of New Jersey. Because the statute said you were supposed to fail the car for an oil leak. And I refused to do it because it didn't tell me what constituted an oil leak. And when posed the question, I actually got called by Trenton and they said, you know, you're not failing. We heard you talking about it on radio about oil leaks. I said, yeah, what's the statute? Three drops on the ground, a quart on the ground, one. You tell me how I want a clear parameter definition of failure. I'm still waiting. It's 12 years. Let me know how that works out for you. So call me back. Tell me what happens. I want to see it in writing.
You got it. I will. Have a safe. I'll be safe. Have a good weekend.
You too. I'll take good care, Steve. You take good care. Bye-bye. 8555. Well, come on now. You know what? I want to know. The car's broke. Show me how the car's broke. The car failed. Tell me why the car failed. I want to see it in writing. Not a bunch of legal mumbo-jumbo. 855-560-9900. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Well, I'm the Car Doctor. Let's go over to Long Island, New York, and talk to Helen. Helen, you're on with the Car Doctor. How can I help?
Hi.
Hi.
I 2007 Honda Civic EX, a manual transmission, a fairly new clutch. But even before it was a new clutch, when I stop at a light, depending on where I place my foot, the clutch pedal won't go down so I can change gear. And when I first bought this beleaguered model year Civic, I did Google problems, and somebody did say that they were having the same problem. I was wondering if you had ever seen this problem. I can go, but it depends on the placement of my foot on the clutch pedal.
So it's sort of like you put it at the wrong spot. The angle is loading the pedal in the wrong direction, and it won't go down easily.
Yeah, that sounds like it, yes.
Okay, does it pop? Does it click? Does it make noise sometimes?
Never.
Okay.
I just move my foot, and it goes. Like, this is a stupid. I'm wasting your time.
No. Take a look at, you got a pencil and paper, Helen?
Yes, I do.
Take a look at Honda Bulletin 11-005. They've had a couple of variations of that. It might be an A or B. The last one I saw was January of 2013. And they talk about the clutch pedal might stick, it might click, it might pop, it might squeak. Sort of what you're describing to me. They had issues with the clutch master cylinder. The distance between the push rod and the master as it's mounted in the vehicle was insufficient. And they've redesigned the clutch master. And that might be applicable to your car. The bulletin lays out in detail by VIN, by chassis number, how to tell if your vehicle is applicable to that bulletin, and you may want to consider having your mechanic look for that and possibly changing that clutch master. You know, it's really a simple hydraulic circuit. There's a cylinder down on the clutch or on the transmission that pushes in on the clutch fork, and there's a master cylinder up top like a brake master cylinder. After that, if the clutch won't physically move, as long as it has good hydraulic pressure and the hydraulic portion is functioning correct, you're into the clutch itself. Was the problem like this prior to the clutch being replaced?
Yes.
So I've got to think it's not related to what they did. I would look at this bulletin and just be certain before you spent any money unnecessarily, and it might make your life a whole lot easier. Okay?
All right, that's Honda 1105?
Yes, ma'am. Honda. It's a Honda bulletin dated January of 2013 was the last one I saw, and it's
11-005. All right, thank you so much, Ron.
You're very welcome.
Thank you always for your information.
You're very welcome. You take good care. 855-560-9900. The Car Doctor's coming back right after this.
Well, this car is automatic. It's systematic. It's hydromatic. Why, it's greased lightning.
Welcome back. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. No more phone calls. Let me close out this hour. It's been a fast 2 hours this week, and the time just seems to fly by. Tom, maybe it's time for a four-hour show. A couple of things. I want to talk real fast because we had some calls today on older cars. We had an older car in the shop this week, a 2000 Nissan Maxima that was setting a P0138 downstream O2 Bank 1 sensor fault V6 car, and it needed an O2. And I was able to locate a Denso, which is the equivalent or an OE equivalent sensor for that vehicle, and it fixed the car. That's not the point. I did lay out some options for the customer, and I just want to go over them real quick here. When you're dealing with something of that age and vintage, all right, and Nissan tend to do this, so maybe it's a characteristic of Nissan as well. I cautioned him that changing that downstream O2 can, in a very short period of time, produce some other symptoms. One of which could be a catalytic converter failure. I've had a few Nissans, and my theory is the cats deteriorate, the O2s deteriorate, the light comes on, they get left on, driven, but ignored, and then finally we diagnose the O2 issue, and now we come back a couple of weeks later with a possible cat failure. We'll get a P042430 cat fault code, and it's showing me that, you know, the car's old. It's 20 years old. It needed an O2. It can be tested for cat, and I guess the point becomes, don't rule out on older cars that, like newer cars, it's just going to have one problem. You know, there's no rule that says one problem, one and done. All right? Things aren't done until the computer's happy and the vehicle has been driven and proper parts and so forth. So I just want to highlight that. The other thing I want to mention is a lot of you have called in and said to me, hey, Ron, I hear you talking about K-Seal and fixing head gaskets and some of the other things that it does. What's a head gasket? I realize sometimes I get in, I'll take you in over your head. Go out to kseal.com. They've got a web page there, all right? If you look up at the top under Problem Solver, and it'll show you head gasket and some of the other components that K-Seal can fix. And they've got some really great pictures and videos of head gaskets, what they do, how they work, more importantly, how they fail, and why K-Seal is the alternative and is the choice for repairing the vehicle, and why having that bottle of K-Seal, like we tell you here on the show, is just such a smart move and such an absolute, you know, absolute necessary, vital, vital step towards ensuring that you're on the road and that you're getting home safe. So get out to kseal.com and you'll see it there. I want to thank Tom Ray for his, again, another week of exquisite work. Tom's the man. He's always there for me when I need him the most. He's the guy, and I want to thank you for tuning in and listening, because I really enjoy being here for each and every one of you. I'm Ron Ananey in the Car Doctor, this time, every time, for a good time, reminding you good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.